The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Having some R&R the last couple days. If you have not seen on Facebook, Mary had her 100-day countdown to retirement, and she retired this past Friday. And so we rejoice for what God has done in Mary's life and look forward to this next chapter that God has for her. So be in prayer for her as God is going to be doing many things both in her and through her. And be in prayer for Michael as well, as he's going to be hopping on a plane later this morning going to the great state of Texas, where he will be participating in some board meetings with Guidestone Financial. They both will be back with us next week. And so today I get the privilege to continue on in our sermon series, Saints with Crooked Halos. And today we are going to be talking about Martha, 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 and her beloved sister Mary. And so if you have your Bibles, if you have your electronic device, whatever you do have, if you'd open it up to Luke chapter 10, we are going to be camped out in verses 38 through 42. And I would just like us to bow our heads for the moment and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pause once again this morning and we give you thanks and praise for your love and your grace and your guidance in our lives. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that as we dialogue, that you would have your way with us as we just open up and chew on the word together, and that you would just bless this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, beginning in verse 38, Scripture says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me then.' But the Lord answered, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her.'" And the question I have for you as we start out this morning, do you ever struggle with balance in your life? Yep, I hear yep out there. Okay, I don't need to see the hands, but I'm sure all of our hands would go up. Maybe it's time with your family. Maybe it's time in your job. Maybe it's time, your devotion time with spending with our Lord Jesus. You know, and I ask you as you come in the doors this morning, what brought you here to Shadow Hills Church? Was it a sense of duty? Was it a sense of obligation? Or was it out of devotion to God and your love for Jesus, wanting to be in the very pew that you're sitting in right now? Today's text is going to help us look at balancing devotion and service. And so the text picks up where Jesus uses the story of these two sisters, of Mary and Martha, to illustrate how we should come to the point where we demonstrate our love to our Father, finding ourselves, hopefully, abiding in him and growing to be the devoted followers and representing ourselves, demonstrating his love and acts of service as time goes on when we develop the devotion with him as we abide with him. And the story takes place in the village of Bethany. And Bethany is located outside of Jerusalem, and kind of to give you a context, it would be like Las Vegas here, maybe to Boulder City. And Martha lived with her sister Mary and her brother Lazarus, and it appears that Martha is a widow, and she is the head of the household. So here in the home of Martha, Mary, Lazarus, Jesus, the disciples, and many of his friends are gathering and having a bit of a time of relaxation, getting away from the crowds. And so this is a very familiar house for our Lord Jesus. It is a place of refuge for him. It is a place where he feels loved and accepted. And it is a time where he's coming together for basically the gift of having refreshment and fellowship with brothers and sisters. And so both sisters in this text are delighted to see Jesus, but they express their enthusiasm in very different ways. We read in verse 38 that Martha welcomed him into her home. But then Scripture said that Mary went and she sat at the feet of Jesus. Many people, we all come from different walks of life. And each one of us, you know, people have varying temperaments. And some are active, always needing to be busy, never being able to sit still. We all know people like that, all right? And others are thoughtful, thinking things through, being a little bit more pensive, thoroughly focusing on things and taking time to focus and to reflect on things. And Martha is this very activity-oriented individual. And her sister appeared to be more on the thoughtful side, thoughtful in nature, because she was the one that was found sitting at Jesus' feet. And I would say, in this particular day and age, women were usually separated from the men, especially in times of teaching. It was usually customary for the women to be in the kitchen, to be cooking as Martha was. But serious disciples were often preparing to be teachers, okay? And they would be found sitting at the feet of the teachers, preparing themselves. And this is inferred into Mary's life as well, because she is found sitting at the feet of the Savior. And all other scriptures throughout the Bible speak of Mary sitting at the feet of the Lord. And I believe that all too often we have wrongly contrasted Mary and Martha as though each Christian should make a choice to either be a worker like Martha or a worshiper like Mary. Is one right and the other wrong? And I would say no, but I would also say yes. No, because God has called for each and every one of us to serve. But yes, it can be wrong if we have the wrong order, for duty and devotion are both necessary, but there must be a balance. Martha was crossing the line of works becoming a bad thing. Devotion happens, and then through discernment in our relationship with Christ and abiding with Christ, we press forth in the duties that our Lord has for us as Christian believers. As in the concept that faith without works is dead, I would say that both are necessary, in that one inevitably flows out of the other, for good works flowing out of true faith and true devotion with the Father. The most important thing is our love relationship that each one of us have when we accept Lord Jesus into our heart to be Lord of our lives, abiding with Him and growing with Him and learning with Him. And then once we abide and grow and we learn, then what happens? Then heartfelt duty flows out of that. But again, it is a balance. But I would say it is a balance with having a sense of order. You must have devotion, and then duty flows out of that. Devotion is described as love or loyalty or enthusiasm for a person, an activity, or a cause. Duty is a moral or a legal obligation or a sense of responsibility. And I believe that we often miss the point and lose focus to imitate Mary in our worship and Martha in our work, achieving balance in both. I think Martha looked at the situation that she was in and she was like, man, what a privilege to prepare this meal for the Master. But yet Mary, on the other hand, stops and she says, what a privilege to be sitting at the feet of the Master. And I look at both women, each have a different focus. I would say every action, every relationship, every institution has a basic focus. Its reason for existence, if it hopes to succeed. If it loses its focus, if we lose our focus in an action, in a relationship, or an institution in business, lose your focus, you're going to end up failing. You know, I think of the vision and mission of Shadow Hills Church. Our vision is to grow a community of believers that reflect the nature of God, to seek and save the lost and share the love of Christ. If we don't challenge and lead in that, we will lose our focus and we will lose our vision as a church. And just as we have goals for our church, when you lose your focus, you end up where? You end up in trouble. And this morning, I want us to take a look at this story, and I want us to come to the point where we explain what it cost Martha in losing her focus, which I believe is something that each one of us this morning can relate to. If we lose our focus, we get off track, bottom line. Loss of focus caused Martha to resort to self-pity. If you look at the first part of verse 40, it says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. The sense of the word distracted, if you go to the original text, is a kind of a sense where she was kind of being pulled away or extracted from, being dragged away. She was distracted and dragged away by much serving. Now, serving is good. We read about serving in Ephesians, where Scripture says that we are His workmanship. God has prepared for us to walk in His image and to serve. I think of the Great Commission. The Great Commission says that we are to go, that we are to share. It's another example that we are to go and do. And the implication is that Martha wanted to hear Jesus herself. She wanted to be seated at His feet, but she was pulled away. She was kind of extracted from this sense of her duties, fretting about the meal and being robbed of the joy in serving her Heavenly Father. And we should, of course, I would say, take responsibilities seriously for the things that God calls each one of us to do, but not take ourselves seriously to the point that we overestimate our importance. The problem did not lie in the work that Martha was doing at all. The problem lied in the attitude that she was doing it with. Once her priorities became out of balance, she found herself serving out of duty rather than serving out of devotion, which stirred her to become a little bit more irritated. In our daily lives, we can become so busy with just the everyday things in life that we neglect the most important thing. And that most important thing is abiding with Christ. Spending time sitting at the Master's feet. Having quiet moments with our Savior. Personally, and I don't know about you, but personally I dislike being busy. But all too often I find that I am busy. And though I am at times, I need to remember to abide in Him and stay focused in His Word and have accountability to encourage me to do so, and so should you. A few weeks ago, we had Vacation Bible School, and we had an average of over 550 kids on a daily basis in the sanctuary and just around our campus. And it was a phenomenal week. It was one of those weeks, though, personally for me, that it was very busy. I had a lot of deadlines and so much more. I was working with architects on the new student building and finalizing some things. We were working with the finance team and finalizing spreadsheets for the bank so that we can get and move toward the new building. And the list can go on and on. But on that particular Wednesday of that week, there was decision day for the fourth and fifth graders. And our staff and our deacons lined the front of this auditorium and received 64 kids that came forward that wanted to know about a relationship with Jesus. Amen. They wanted to know a relationship about Jesus, or maybe follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Some just needed prayer. But I had the privilege to pray with a 10-year-old boy named Jack. This kid laid out the plan of salvation so articulately. He asked Jesus into his heart to be Lord of his life. And I quote as he said, "I feel like a weight has been lifted off me." A 10-year-old boy. Hallelujah, amen. And I sat there with a tear in my eye. He cried, I cried. It was tears of joy. And I would, if I would have stayed in my office at those moments being distracted by my duties, I would have been robbed of that most precious moment in the life of that boy. Now, I'm sure, and no, without a shadow of a doubt, I know that any one of our deacons and any one of our staff members could have led that child to Christ, and he'd still be a Christian this morning. But Damien, I would have missed the blessing. We must serve out of our devotion to our Father in heaven, yet understand our duty and keep our focus, but press forth in our devotion. It's a reminder that for these ladies, one served out of duty and the other served out of devotion. If we do not keep our balance, okay, and if we don't keep our focus, we will have a woe to me mentality, and that is where self-pity will grow, as we read about in verse 40. So loss of focus caused Martha to resort to self-pity, but loss of focus also caused Martha to become angry and find fault with other people. And I truly believe that Martha wanted to honor Jesus. I even believe that she began her work with the right attitude. The harder Martha worked, the more worked up Martha became. She allowed circumstances to dictate her response to others, and she became angry, and she became very critical. Do you ever get mad at someone because you feel that they're not pulling their weight? Anybody? Yeah? How does that make you feel? We get angry, we get upset. And that is what I see is happening to Martha. And I think what sums up how she was feeling, it comes from a quote from the book, Freedom from the Tyranny of the Urgent by Charles Hummel. And it grasps this so perfectly. It says, tension and frustration mounts when we are performing the wrong tasks or trying to cram too many of the right activities into a given period. A critical spirit develops and we begin to judge and condemn others for what they do or what they don't do. Anytime you feel a wave of criticism gaining momentum in your spirit, remember it's completely out of line as far as God is concerned. Amen? We must maintain our focus. Loss of focus caused Martha to become angry and find fault with others. And in that second part of verse 40, Martha gets to that point where she comes out of the kitchen and she's red hot. Her face is upset. And Jesus looks at her and she says to him, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her then to help me." She doesn't even call her sister by name. We all have ways that we try to get our message across, whether it's in a board meeting, whether it's in your household. Maybe it's clearing your throat. Maybe it's like gestures. Or maybe it's the look from your spouse. You all know what the look is, all right? Martha cannot get Mary's attention, and she is at a point where she is blaming her for not getting things done, and she is kind of exasperated. But yet Mary was willing. She was so willing to deal with Martha's anger because sitting at the feet of Jesus meant everything to her because she kept her devotion to her Savior and she sat at his feet. She abided in her Lord and she abided and surrendered to listen to the teacher. She gave herself just as Jesus gave himself. And I think a lot of times we ask ourselves, what is the greatest gift that our Lord Jesus gave? And what do we automatically think of? We think of him dying on the cross for the sins of the world. And I say amen and yes to that. But then I go take it a few steps further and I think of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost when he came to indwell within the hearts of the people. That is the most precious gift that we can have because you know what? We have relationship with our Lord, don't we? We have relationship with him. No one can force us as the body of Christ to be devoted. It's a decision that we personally must make. But too often, I think we have a what's in it for me mentality. We need to not find ourselves in the same spot as Martha, causing us to not stay focused and causing us to get angry and question others. Loss of focus caused Martha to question God's care as well. Whatever Martha has already done to get Mary's attention, as I shared a second ago, she's totally just off her rocker. She's exasperated. There's accusation in her voice when she says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" In saying this, she is not only rebuking her sister, but also the very one that she's making the preparations for, and that is our Lord Jesus. She is addressing her irritation to Jesus, and I would say she's one gutsy woman. She's accusing Jesus of not caring for her. Whenever our service causes us to criticize others and pity ourselves because we are feeling overworked or underappreciated, it's time to examine our lives and it's time to examine our personal motives. It's interesting how Martha links Jesus' care for her with his willingness to tell Mary to get busy helping her. And I wonder, as the body of Christ, if we do that. Do we ever accuse God of not caring for us because we personally have already decided what his care for us should look like? He should have helped me get that job. He should have healed my uncle. He should have mended that relationship. He should have opened that door. He should have closed that door. Because then I wouldn't be in the situation that I am. He should have. Part of Martha's problem was that she worried about what God should have done. In today's text, Jesus, by his refusal to do as Martha asked, demonstrates that although what she was doing was valuable, she should worry less about others' choices, Mary's choices. It boiled down to the fact that Martha wanted to force Mary to serve Christ the way that she wanted her to serve. Forget about what God wanted. So through this, Martha questions God's love and his care. And she got off track and she lost focus. So how can our focus as the body of Christ be clearer as followers of Christ? Plain and simple, by keeping our focus on Christ. In verse 41, Jesus responds and he says, "Martha, Martha." You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. Mary has chosen the right thing, which will not be taken from her. And Jesus responds with a reproving. And you think about a reprove, it was like a gentle tap, and it was like a correction. And often Jesus would rebuke people, but he would have a harsh tone, like when he was talking to Peter and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." But in this particular case, whenever he would use a name twice, it had an emphasis, a double utterance of a name like Simon, Simon, or Saul, Saul, or in this case, Martha, Martha. It was meant to express the quiet and dissatisfaction of the Savior. In this instant, it was not so much with Martha's act, but rather with her disposition as she made preparations for Jesus and others. And Jesus is not rejecting Martha's attempt to serve him. Martha's problem was not that she was preparing food for the guests, because this was necessary, but she gave too much importance to it. Mary chose the right portion. Mary chose that right thing, to sit at his feet, to abide in him, and to emulate how he loved and how the teacher treated others. And today, I think we still need to be careful that we do not let the necessary things that we must do and get done get out of balance and distort our lives. We must focus and find balance between duty and devotion, just as I had to find balance to leave the duty of my office work. Through discernment, I would say, and abiding in him, I felt that God was leading me to do what I needed to do and focus on what I should do, which goes with the vision and mission of our church, and that was to spend time with a young boy to share the gospel. Martha came to Jesus because she wanted him to lighten the load that day. And he did what she wanted, but not in the way that she had expected. He lightened her load by giving her a new perspective on her work, not by having Mary help. And I hope it's not news to any of us, but service, our service is not necessary. Our service is not necessary, but our relationship with our Lord Jesus is the most important thing and is necessary. True relationship will then hopefully lead to us serving. Out of our abiding in him, out of our growing with him, learning from him, and out of that overflow, then doing what it is that he has called for us to do. When service is divorced from relationship, it becomes idolatry and it becomes offensive to our God. Our most important thing is our relationship with him. Service that flows out of intimacy is what each and every one of us need to be striving for. Duty flowing through our devotion. Service is good, but being with Jesus is better. We must spend time with Jesus personally and privately. Or we'll end up like Martha, not being focused. Martha was wrong in her disposition. Mary chose well, and in a case where one did good, but yet the other did so much better. The Christian life is learning to balance duty and devotion. And I believe Rick Warren had said, sitting without serving is powerless. Serving without sitting at his feet is directionless. And serving after sitting produces power and it produces balance. And I don't want to close our story of these two sisters without us understanding the part that they play in biblical history. One of the greatest confessions concerning the personhood of Jesus Christ was given by Martha in John chapter 11, verse 12. Lazarus has just died, and Jesus comes and he's trying to comfort Martha, and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will never die." He says, "Martha, do you believe this?" her great confession of all time says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." She evidently overcame her propensity to be distracted long enough and sat at the feet of Jesus enough to grow into a woman of profound faith over time. We also have much recorded about Mary, and as I said in the beginning of the sermon, Mary is always found sitting at the feet of Jesus. In John chapter 12, we see one of the most moving pictures of sacrificial worship recorded. It was 6 days before the Passover, and Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those that was reclining at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance and the aroma of this perfume. Martha served, no complaints were made, and it showed that she demonstrated and she kept her focus. Mary was criticized for anointing Jesus' feet and spending way too much on that oil. But did she quit because of criticism? No. She kept her focus where it needed to be. She was one of the women that was later found at the tomb on the morning that our Lord Jesus resurrected. When you sit at the feet of Jesus, you learn from him and you grow. And you don't quit because of hard things. You don't quit because of hurt feelings. You turn the other cheek and you press forward. I think these two passages concerning Martha's confession and Mary's worship, they give us such evidence that these sisters achieved the balance between duty and devotion. For duty flowed out of their love for God, and they grew in their faith and they kept their focus. Devotion came first because they spent time abiding with him, growing with him, and learning from him, and being challenged by him. So the question I have for us as the body of Christ this morning is, does duty flow out of your devotion to our Heavenly Father? Are you abiding with Christ the way you should? Are you taking time to have daily quiet time with him so you can be the man or woman that God has called for you to be? Because after all, that's your choice. Stand with me. Let's pray.